a message that I have been working on for 3 weeks. I think this is the third time that I have shared in this particular thought, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 is where we've been talking about over the last few Sundays. And I kind of get in a study pattern. I call it a vein. I kind of get in a vein and I preach my way through that until I feel like the Lord releases me and sends me in another direction. Now, this morning was just one of those things that God said, boom, there it is. And I said, okay. And I still believe that tonight. I still believe that God is the healer. I still believe that God is able. And I believe that God wants to bring healing more than you want it. I believe that. For several Sundays, and let me get all these keys out of my pockets and cell phones and everything. I can't run with all this in my pocket. Can't move. But for several weeks, I believe that God has been doing something. Let me just kindly walk into this, and Chris, you'll have to adjust me a little bit on my monitors now. The Bible reminds us in James, we're not going to really turn to James, but it's kind of laying a foundation of thought. Simply to say that you can have all of God that you want. But God cannot have all of you until you let Him. He's always willing. The Bible says in James, draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. You've heard me preach that before. You take a step towards God and God will take a step towards you. I believe that we have as much of God in our lives as we want. So when I began to think about this verse of Scripture, these verses of Scripture, last week I preached a little bit out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and you don't need to turn there upstairs. But this is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Know ye not that you are the temple of the whole... Know ye not that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You got to give Him something to work with. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now when you go into 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, on the topic of sanctification, part 3, if you will. I thought of these verses simply because of what sanctification ultimately means is a setting apart to be made usable, to set aside for special purposes and special usages, if you will. Again, where the Bible reminded us a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned the scripture out of 1 Peter that said that you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. But again, this Bible reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 where Paul talked about how we use the members of our bodies. I think that's important. I think it's very imperative in the church today to understand what God has given us. He's given us these bodies to be used for His glory. For His glory. And the Bible reminds us as His people that know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Now, to me, that's very important. Because when I read that, I begin to think about how that we're living in a society today And that same spirit has crept over into the church. I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it, and nobody will tell me what to do. The Bible reminds me that that is a rebellious spirit, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And that's where you get all these confusions and all these groups and all the wars that's going on in our world today, because everybody wants it their way when they want it without any regard to how it makes another person actually feel. When we think about what God has done for us, we're reminded of what the Bible said about your body. Now, I remind you this evening that I'm not here to bash. I'm not here to be a clothesline preacher. I'm not here to be an earlobe preacher. I'm not here to be an earbob preacher. And I'm not here to determine how long is or how short is. I ain't worried about your hair nor your makeup. Matter of fact, I could care less about that. But I am concerned about where you're going to spend eternity. I am concerned about how you live your life, and I'm concerned about how I live my life before God. So in this scripture, we see again how the Bible reminds us that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you have of God, and you're not your own. Verse number 20 says this in the scripture. He said, "For you are bought with a price." Now, I could park the bus right there and finish this message on that element alone. That you're bought with a price. You think about what kind of price was paid for you and for me to be able to obtain so great a salvation. And then people come back and they think, well, I can do what I want to do, as I want to do, when I want to do, without any regards to what God thinks about our lives and how we treat Him. For you're bought with a price. The next part says, therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Father, I love you tonight and I thank you so much. I thank you for the opportunity, God, to be here tonight, God, to hear the word of God and to share the word of God and to preach the word of God. And Father, I pray, God, this evening as we walk through this message this evening, that Holy Spirit, that you be here with us. That God, that you would speak to our hearts and you'd speak to our lives this evening. And God, I pray that you would help me, oh God, as I deliver what you've burned into my heart and put into my heart tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen and amen. To recap, verse number 20 says, "For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Years ago, and I said this a few weeks ago, but I want to say it again. We, in the church of God primarily, I don't know other churches, because everybody looks at sanctification a little bit different. But we in the church of God believe that sanctification is the second act of grace given of God for His church. We use the word sanctification because it has to do with not just the spirit man, but it has to do with the whole man, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And when you look at sanctification, and we look at sanctification also to do with our behaviors and attitudes. Now, it may not be for you, but let me just say this because I might need it tonight. Because when I wrote this outline and I was working to get this done, I wrote down these little words because I believe that God wants to sanctify my behavior. I'm going to act like Jesus in my behavior. My behavior is that is becoming holiness, if you will. When I think about my attitude speaks of my relationship with my Heavenly Father, that I may become more like Him in my attitude. And I underlined it on my notebook and I just wrote, sanctify my attitude. Now, don't look at the preacher right here, but how many of us have ever needed God to sanctify our attitude? Now, when we think about sanctification, we think about it in the language of sanctification, in theological terms, if you will, which is the understanding of God. Terminology has been used. Now, watch this. This is a part of sanctification that has focused on the progressiveness of the aspect of growing in holiness and growing in the Christian life. Somebody says, is sanctification instantaneous? I believe that there is a second act of grace called sanctification, that time where you finally get to that place that you yield yourself to God totally, and God will sanctify you and cleanse you, not in the new birth element, but in the setting apart part of your life. And you finally get to that place that you resign yourself to Him and say, God, here I am. That you understand and you set yourself apart for Him. But we look at this, but in the progressive aspect of sanctification, it is something that we must grow into as we learn. We don't know everything. We don't understand everything. And as the light of the Scripture shines upon our pathway, then we can adjust our life based upon our understanding of Scripture and what the Holy Spirit is showing us. Peter, we're not turning there, but Peter reminded us in the Scripture in 2 Peter 3:18, and he says these words, and Peter wrote this because it's a growing process. It's like growing a garden. My question is, what are you growing in your garden this evening? Peter uses the term grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul uses the term again that I wanted to feed you with meat, but you could not. And he said, you're not ready for it yet. So he gave them milk. And sanctification uses the term, or Scripture uses the term sanctify and sanctification to point towards the status or the consecration and holy of that is holy, if you will. And you and I, we must understand that sanctification is something that God does in and through our lives. If you go back into Isaiah chapter number 1, we look at this in the Scripture in Isaiah 1 in verse number 18, where Isaiah was writing this to the children of Israel. Israel had to be sanctified a lot. If you go back and read the history of Israel, I mean, it's all throughout the Old Testament where he would use the words to set yourself apart or make it holy or something of that nature. But in this, he says in verse 18, where that he was given this invitation to Israel to come and to let God do a work in their life. We see this in verse number 18. He says, come now and let us reason together. In other words, come now and let us have a sit-down conversation about it. And he says, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they may be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God can take an old black heart, right, well, wash it in red blood, and make it white as snow. They might not have been able to understand that even back then, but I know we look at it now, and we look and we thank God for the sanctifying blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where would anybody in this room be tonight if it wasn't for the purifying blood of the cross? Amen? None of us would be here. It is only through and by the blood that we're cleansed and we're set apart for God. But we see here in verse number 19 where, as Isaiah was writing this, and he says this, if you be willing and obedient. Sanctification has to do with obedience unto God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And we get to the place that we understand when you look at that if God is going to do something in our lives and through our lives, that we've got to be willing to yield ourselves to Him, and we've got to be willing to be obedient to the call of God. And as we are finding ourselves willing and obedient to the call of God, it is a type of the sanctification and the sanctifying of the Spirit. We set ourselves apart, and like Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. He says, if you be willing, you shall eat of the good of the land. Verse number 20 tells us, but if you're not willing, He said, but if you refuse and you rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. Now again, he's talking to Isaiah and all that went into the book of Isaiah and all those major and minor prophets all throughout the Old Testament that we've looked at over the recent months, if you will. He said, if you don't, you're going to be devoured. He said, with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I think about the church today. I think about the church at large. If there's anything, I'm talking about the saved. I'm talking about the church today. If there's anything that the church needs today, it is once again, we need to come back to the place of holiness and consecration that is found in the beautiful union that we have with Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know the scripture as well as I do. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, if you will, he says he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, I make all things are become new. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And what God wants to do in all of our lives today is He is wanting to make you and I a new creature. He's wanting to do a new work in our lives. And the first thing I begin to think about is that we've got to be redeemed. We've got to be born again. We need the blood of Jesus applied to our lives today. The Bible says that Jesus, again, we think about what the word says. For we are the sheep of His pasture, if you will. I remember a little song that we used to sing years ago. I'm not going to try to sing it right now. But it talks about Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. And that chorus repeated that several times. And then at the end of that song it says, oh, what a change in my life. When Jesus comes in, my friend, He will take that old fleshy carnal man and God will rewire you and God will rewire me, if you will. And God will do a brand new work in us. And I think about the sanctifying power of God, how that God wants to take every man and every woman and every boy that's under the sound of my voice, and He wants to take all the old out of us, and He wants to make us a brand new person. The thing I want to ask us this evening is simply this. I wonder what kind of fruitfulness we have. Think about fruit. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now again, I'm going to talk about just what the Lord laid on my heart, and I'm not going to go chasing rabbits too much for this evening. But I do want to say this. You can think about your old life versus your new life in Jesus. So we look at the scripture and we think about this. Now again, this is how God put it in my heart. If you were preaching it, you can preach it your way. But I think about fruitfulness, if you will, and how that in our the spirit, if you will, that we've got to have ourselves consecrated to Him in order to produce the fruit of the Spirit. When we look at this scripture, there's several things that begin to come to my mind there in John chapter number 15, if you will, and you know it as well as I do. And you can just turn there and kind of hold your finger in place, because this is pretty much the rest of the service is right here in John chapter number 15. So when we begin to look at this, we can see that how that Jesus again was there with His disciples, and He pulls His disciples together and He talks about this whole concept of what I'm trying to get to this evening is how that God wants you and I to be sanctified so that we can produce the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it don't take a whole lot to figure it out. Because your fruitfulness really is your identification. Wow. Whatever you're producing is really your identification. I got a little bit ahead of myself. So just keep your finger right there in John for just a minute. I want to go back for just a second, because I really don't want to miss this, because if I miss it, it's not going to set the rest of the stage, if you will, for where I want to go. So in Matthew chapter number 7, again, Jesus is talking with His disciples there at this time. And one of the things that Jesus was saying to them is he told them to beware of false prophets. Verse 15, Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, I can take the time to dissect that and tear it apart and talk about it for a few minutes. And all of us here this evening would agree with what Jesus was saying there. And people would start coming to our mind, and we'd start thinking about people, and we'd start wondering if they're really a wolf or a sheep, or really start wondering about the person next to you and how. That's not really my point. Are y'all awake? And it says here in the Word, Jesus told them, he said, you're going to be aware of false prophets. They're going to be dressed in sheep's clothing, but he said inwardly they're ravening wolves. And then in this, he says in 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Now somebody says, well, I'm just a fruit inspector. God didn't really make you a fruit inspector, but God would give you the discernment by the, not by your own opinion, not by what you think, not by what you can put together, but what the Bible says. And he says in this, Jesus talking to them, you shall know them by their fruits. Again, a question. When I talk about presenting your bodies and I talk about being a Christian, when I talk about being set apart, the question is, what kind of fruit are you being identified with this evening? Your identification. And he says here in the Word in the next verse, and he says that verse number 16, that you should know them by their fruits. That's why we need a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost power of sanctification in the church today, because you and I need to produce good fruits as God's people. And you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now, let me remind you, when I preach these types of messages, I never am without these big old fat thumbs of mine pointing back at me. Because I know that I've got to keep my behavior in place. I know I've got to keep my attitude in check. Because we're bought with a price. You're not your own. You can't say what you will. You can't do what you will. Because you don't belong to yourself. You are an ambassador of Jesus. You represent Jesus. You represent heaven on planet Earth right now. That is who we are. You've heard it said before, and I don't particularly like the statement. I'll be honest with you. I don't like the statement because of the way that it's said and the way that it's got the connotation attached to it. Because people say cruel things and mean things, and people say things they shouldn't say, and people have all kinds of ideas and opinions and thoughts and all kinds of things. But somebody will look at somebody and say, boy, if that's a Christian right there, I sure don't want to be one. But let's flip that around in the area of giving ourselves to God and living holiness and living sanctified and living separated and apart from the world, not with haughtiness, not with an attitude, not that I'm holier than thou. But what would it be if somebody would really say, if that's a Christian, I sure do want to be one. Let's flip it. Let's live that life. And again, when Jesus was saying this in the scripture text, he was saying these words, and you look at this again in the scripture, he said, so you shall know them by their fruits. Again, question, what your fruit is your identification, so what are you producing? Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. I like that scripture. And he says, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit, if you will. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore be by their fruits, you shall know them. Now, I'm trying my best to make a connection between the sanctifying power of God, setting the church apart, and the church becoming holiness as unto God, and walking in the power of the fruit of the Spirit through and by the sanctifying power of God, separated away from the world, not loving the world, living different than the world. And again, just like I've heard it said, and I've said it and even heard it said, hey, this world's in a mess. This world is in an absolute horrible mess. My friend, here's the thing. I know this world's in a mess. Why in the world should I worry and fret and wring my hands over something that Paul said to Timothy was going to happen in the last day? Perilous times, men, lovers of themselves, more than lovers of God. Somebody says, this world's in a mess. Oh, this world's in a mess. I just don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to do it. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm not worried about the mess that the world's in. Oh, yeah, I'm concerned about their soul, but because the world's in a mess, I'm not going to backslide with them. I'm not going to get wrapped up in the world with them. I'm going to keep my stance as holiness unto God. I'm going to lift my praises unto God. I'm going to sing my songs unto God. I'm going to rejoice unto God, my friend, and keep my life intact with Him, that I might produce fruits unto righteousness, if you will. The world's in a mess. That's a fact. But the church don't have to be in the mess that the world's in. It's in a mess. Somebody's wringing their hands. I just don't know what the church is going to do. I do. We're His body. And I'm getting off track a little bit, but it's okay. And Christ loved the church and gave Himself for the church. We're His church. Somebody says, the church is going down. No, the church is going up. I'll say that again. Somebody might say, the church is going down. But the church is going up. Soon and very soon, we're going to go see the King. So in this, the Bible reminds us the condition of the world, but yet even in the condition of the world, it don't have to be the condition of the church. Because we're a called out church. We're a different church. So look at this with me for just a few minutes this evening. In His working, Jesus was working on the inside. And Jesus will show up on the outside. Three things real fast causes us to produce fruit. First of all, we have to be changed. We have to be redeemed. Number two, when we think about this, let me go back to number one for a minute. We have to be redeemed. The Bible says we are the sheep of His pasture. When you look at our text this evening, or the other text I went to John chapter 15, verse number 1, it opens up and it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or He is the owner. Now think about what I'm saying. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Jesus said that I am the true vine and my Father is the owner. He's the husbandman. He owns the vineyard. He owns you. He paid a price for you. You're not your own. So we've got to be redeemed. Secondly, we've got to be rooted. A root is needed to produce fruit. Duh. What do you think, preacher? But whatever is in the root will become the fruit. I often said, if you've got a rotten root, you're going to have stinking fruit. So whatever's in the root will become the fruit. Now, I'm just teaching you things that I've learned through my life. The plant grows from the root. It grows from inside. On the outside, they may look really sweet. They may look like the best ever. But inside, the Bible said, inside they're ravening wolves. It don't take long to be around people for a few minutes to find out what's going on the inside of them. It don't take long. I don't care how many Bible verses they quote. I don't care how many songs they sing. If somebody's ugly, mean, and a sour disposition, you got a stinking root. Hello, somebody. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just simply saying that in sanctification, in setting apart for God, we've got to take a notice at our own lives today. It's easy to get the speck of dust out of somebody else's eye when you've got a 2x4, honey, sticking out of yours. It's easier to clean up somebody else's house than it is to clean up your own house. And a good dose of sanctification will clean up your own house. Man, I could stop right there, and we've already had church. Now, somebody says it's already 7 o'clock. That's a good place to start. I ain't even got through the introduction. Hang with me. Hey, y'all think I'm funny? But I sat on the couch more than I sat at my desk. And I process and I think. I was up at 6:10 this morning working and working on it. I'm up normally early in the morning thinking and processing and going and doing and things that I do early in the mornings. And the thing that I, Sandra, have to work through before I ever get up here and preach anything I preach, Brother West, you know how it is. Man, it runs through your own grinder. I can't preach to you and become a hypocrite. I can't preach to others, as Paul said, and become a castaway. So I too have to work on my fruit. Now, there's about 16 things I wanted to get to tonight. So number one is simply this. When you begin to look at this scripture again in John chapter number 15, he says that every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it might bring forth more fruit. Now, when I began to think about this, I thought about not only redeemed, we got to be redeemed, we got to be rooted, and we got to be in relationship with him. And again, there's a connectedness. Is that a word? I don't know if that's a word or not. There's a continuity. There's a connectedness between us and God. And in this, I thought about how that we think about how that the souls of men, think about this, the souls of men is the fruit of heaven. The Bible reminds us that Jesus said, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. There's a man by the name of Mitchell Toll. He actually pastors in Man of War up in Kentucky. He done these paintings that's in the bathrooms. These are copies of the paintings that he's done. He's a artist, and he was preached several camp meetings for us. He said something at camp meeting this year. I only got to go one night. But he said something that night. He said, there's rejoicing in heaven over one soul that gets saved. He said, at our church for weeks and weeks and weeks, Man of War in Kentucky, Louisville or Lexington, I'm not sure, Lexington, I think. He said, somebody's been saved every week. He said, if there's rejoicing in heaven, he said, it ought to be our desire to keep heaven dancing. Keep heaven rejoicing. And I thought to myself about that when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, of how that we produce what's in us. Several things Jesus begins to talk about. And he talks about the conditions of fruitfulness in life. And it takes a solid connectedness, if you will, to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, if you will, as the Bible says, to produce fruit. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to stay connected. You got to stay connected. Because he opens this up and he says this very, very plainly in the scripture. He says this in the word because, and again, I'm going to buzz through a whole lot of this, but verse 5, and I'm going to miss some of it. Verse number 3, if you will, when he talks about this, let me go back to verse 2. I'm getting ahead of myself and it's not going to make sense. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, God wants you to be a fruit producer. And he says, if you are not producing fruit, that he takes it away. And then he purgeth, he cleanses, he prunes, and he clips, and he gets rid of the waste, if you will, and he gets things out of our lives that ought not be in our lives, and things that's hindering us, and things that need to be taken out of our life. He purges it. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, so that we can run this race that's before us. So in this, I see, again, an element of sanctification, because he purges, he cuts away the waste, he cuts away things from us that ought not to be a part of our life. And again, I'm not going to try to make a list. I mean, come on, you could make a list and you could say, well, you ought not do this and you ought not do that. And I think when the Holy Ghost gets on your life, and I truly believe when we're children of God, I believe that the voice of the Holy Spirit on the internal part of you and I, when God really wants to do something in our life, I believe the Holy Ghost will begin to speak to us, because he says he will abide with us, he will be our teacher, he will be our God, and the Holy Spirit will do that. Here's the thing. We've got to be willing to listen and to do what God wants us to do. But so many times, people are not willing to do what God wants them to do. And then what happens? He says there in verse number 2 that he purgeth it, and every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. Now again, I'm not going to really get into different things that I thought about during all that. Verse number 3, he says this. He says, now you are clean through thy word. That's interesting, because he said, again, when you look at that in John 17 and 7, he looks at this in the scripture and he says, thy word is truth. He says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The more we get close to God, and the more we get close to God's word, the more we read God's word, the more we allow God's word in our life, the more, and I don't even like to say it like this because it don't sound well, it don't even sound right, but the more we're actually drawn to God, and the more we're actually sanctified. That's the only way I can know how to say it. May not be exactly correct theologically in explanation, but as you see the Word of God and the Word of God comes to fruition in your life as you read the Word of God, he says, sanctify them through thy word is truth. He says, now you are clean through thy word. Now, if I was going to chase rabbits again right here, I would say that we all need to open our Bibles and start reading our Bibles again. Hello? I'm old-fashioned. I study online, and Sherry catches me on my phone. I'm reading Enduring Word. It's a commentary that I read from a whole lot. But I don't do a whole lot on computers. I don't even want to learn how to work a computer. I'm not anti-computer. I just don't want to take the responsibility of learning how. Because Sandra, I still like reading my Bible and marking in my Bible. I like being able to see what's in there, and I like to be able to go back and take my Bible that I've preached with for 25 years and be able to look at it, and it's mine. Sister Betty, I can take the Bible, my Bible, and I can open up my Bible and I can see something I've highlighted years ago, and it just jumps out at me. I've not seen an electronic device yet that can do that. If you don't have a Bible, you need to get a Bible. You say, what are you doing that for, preacher? I don't know. I just feel like you need to get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, I'll get you a Bible. I'll make a deal with you. You read it, I'll get it. I got about 25 in there in the office. I'll give you one. I got brand new Bibles in there that I bought and people's given me. And I got this one. I've had this one over 25 years. I'll give you one. Now, why did you say all that? And why are you meddling so much tonight? Because the Bible will change your life forever. It'll change your life. People say, I don't understand the Bible. Just read the book of Romans. I mean, read the book of James. Read the Gospels. Read something simple as you can get into it. Another message for another time. Oh, I got so much to go to. Oh, I got so much to do. I'm tired and y'all are tired. He said in the scripture, and let me turn back here. I done lost my place. But there in John, he says this in the Word. John chapter number 15, I think it's there in verse 2 or 3. Let me find my place. Be patient with me. I done closed it up. Let me go back. This is what he says. He says, now you are clean. Now look in verse number 4. Abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Look at the next part of that. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. That's good right there. Because a lot of people bear a lot of fruit, but what are they bearing? Now, except you abide, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. That's that first point that I wanted to make. Conditions of fruitfulness, number one, was simply this. You've got to stay connected. Without me, you cannot do anything at all. Now, there's other stuff I could talk about and skip over and move along, and there's pages and pages and pages of stuff. He says there in verse number 6, he said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them. That was interesting to me. I know that is symbolic and I know it's a symbolism of the scripture. But that part kind of caught my attention when I read it. And he says that if a man abide not in me, I in Christ, Christ in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them. That's interesting to me. I don't know why it's striking me kind of funny. Maybe somebody that can tell me a little bit deeper of what that means, we can talk about it later. But you know what I thought? I thought about how that men devour one another. And I thought about how that men heap upon themselves their own lusts, and how that they will devour themselves. And it says that they're cast into the fire. Now, we don't like to talk about that. And I don't think there's such thing as soul sleep. And I don't think there's such thing as annihilation. I don't think if you end up in hell that you'll be there for a little while and then you'll fuzz out and buzz out and burn up and you're not there no more. I believe hell is for eternity. And I believe Jesus was trying to make a point when he said that if a man not abide in me, and he says, and they are burned. Verse number 7, again, when we look at it, we're going to go really fast through this. He said, abide in me and my words abide in you, and you should ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, again, this is not a play on the word of faith or the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Why is it not that? Because somebody says, well, I can ask whatever I will, and God's going to do it, and God's obligated to do it. No, he's not, because God says if you ask according to his will, James, I got it written down up there. I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but James says you ask and you ask amiss. We've got to pray according to God's word, because God's word is God's will. And when we pray God's word, we are praying God's will, and what we ask according to his will, he will do. Because we're not going to ask anything as Christians that's going to violate his will. We're not going to do that. He knew that. And he said, whatsoever things you ask, I'll do it. Verse 8. Skipping over a whole lot. And he says here in the scripture, again, when you look in verse number 8. And he says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. My Father is glorified. That is good. I know it's getting late. I understand. You got that sleepy look on your face. I like that verse of scripture. Penny, I guess you're going to play. I'm going to shut the bus down right there. I can't get done tonight anyway. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. That you bear much fruit. Now, I know that I've done this so many times that we all know this by heart. Herein is my Father glorified. God is glorified when we produce fruit. Well, let's look at that for about 1 minute. Go ahead. Galatians 5 and 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. I heard it said one time, the fruit of the Spirit should be dangling from the limbs of every Christian that there is. That men may be able to come and pick the fruit of life from our lives and live. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Interesting, the first thing that is there that is love. Love. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Herein that you bear fruit, much fruit. He says, fruit, much fruit, or more fruit, much fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. If you go back and read the rest of John chapter 15, that's what he says. He said that your fruit shall remain. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Somebody says, I don't even have happiness no more. I didn't say anything about happiness. Happiness is contingent upon circumstances and environment. But joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I believe you can wade through demons elbow deep, Brother Russell, and still have the joy of the Lord. We're never going to escape the attacks of the enemy. Matter of fact, the more you get close to God, the more the enemy is going to come. But he says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. Verse 23 says, if you look at that, and he says in the Scripture, meekness and temperance, against such there is no law. In other words, it's not constrained to the law. You say, well, why in the world did you preach all this? Because God is trying to change us. God is trying to sanctify us. God is trying to produce something in us that the whole world will know that we have been with Jesus. Now look at this in conclusion. When you look at this in verse number 8 and following, he says, herein is my Father glorified. When you produce fruit, fruitful living, God's glorified. And he says that you bear much fruit. He said, so shall you be my disciples. Contingent upon producing fruit. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. Verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. There's a little chorus. I didn't tell Penny this. I don't know if you know it or not. Change my heart. Change my heart, oh God. Have y'all got that? Change my heart. Maybe. I want us to stand. And I want this. If you can't, we'll sing it. Just plain old sing it. And as we sing this little chorus, I think God can do something. Somebody says, well, preacher, I sure do wish we had had church the way we used to. We used to sing and we used to shout and We used to do this, and well, why are you not doing it now? Hello? I mean, it starts with you, right? God's the same. He's always the same. And God deserves the praise right now like he did in 1979 or 1984, whatever the case might have been. Somebody says, well, I wish we'd have services like we used to have. Why don't you praise him like you used to? We used to run the aisles like we used to run the aisles years ago. Why don't you run the aisles now? Well, we used to sing. Why don't you sing now? I mean, I don't know what we're waiting on. I've done all I can do sometimes. God's waiting on us. And I believe if we'll get hungry after God. Hey, somebody says, and I'm not trying to be ugly. I promise I'm not. because I'm getting older too. I'll turn 60 my birthday. I told Kay, I said, Kay, years ago when you, some of y'all laughing at that 60, I know. I used to be 39 too. But I told Kay, I said, look back at the videos you made in 2011 when I first come here. I said, my hair was as black as your shirt. So we're all changing. Somebody says, I can't move like I used to. Hey, if you got to do the Holy Ghost shuffle, you just shuffle a little bit. Do something. I mean, do something. Maybe I can't raise my arm like I used to. Well, raise a finger. Praise Him. Praise Him. I mean, just do something. You know what I mean? You say, now you're trying to get into this, do something. It's got to be emotionally driven. No. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and we can praise Him. We're His children. Let's sing this little chorus together. Change my heart. Change my heart, O God. May I be like You. Do that first part again. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like You. You are the potter, I am the clay. Build me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Let that be your prayer. Change my heart, O God. May I be like You. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Change me, God. Come on, church, say that. Change me, God. Transform me, God. Sanctify me, holy God. Set me apart, God. Oh, God, let me bear fruit of righteousness, God. Oh, God, do it in my life tonight. Do it in my life tonight, oh, God. Transform my thinking, transform my actions, transform the way I live my life. May I be like You, Lord. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like, do that part again, change my heart. Mean it with all your heart. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like. Do the chorus now. Yes, Lord. You are the potter. I am the Hold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like. That's your prayer. Just raise your hand in the air. Father God, right now, You see every hand. You see every hand that is raised. You see every heart. You see every life, God, that's in this room right now.
And God, we pray that you would change us, God, that you would do a work in our lives this evening, God, that as we go throughout this week, that God, that you give us opportunity to shine the light of the gospel upon somebody's pathway. And Father, we thank you, we honor you, we praise you for all that you've done today, for the goodness of God that spread all around us, God, the mercy of God that endures forever. Lord, take our lives a living sacrifice, God. Lord, we're not our own. We are bought with a price. We have been set apart. We've been purchased by you. And Father, I pray, God, that you would just touch this church, God, and let not this message go, God, unattended. But God, let our word, let your words be as a hammer in our heart tonight, oh God. And Father God, to drive that message home this evening, that we may be the only Bible that some people will ever see or read. Help us, God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. I trust that you had a great day in the Lord. We'll go our way. We'll see you Wednesday night, good Lord willing. And be praying this week. I believe that God still wants to do a lot of work in this church. And if God can use anything, he can use me. And I'm praying that God use us for this county in Jesus' name. Amen.